Before I moved here to begin internship this summer, I took a one-week intensive course at seminary that was all about education and teaching. The professor for the course was brought in from another seminary, so none of my classmates or I had ever met her before or had her in class. When she introduced herself that first day, she told us that her name was Mary Hess and that her area of focus was religious education. She also did something that none of my other professors had ever done before. She said, "You can just call me Mary." Now, maybe that doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but every professor I've ever had, in undergrad or in seminary, has always introduced themselves by way of their title, Dr. So-and-so or Professor Whoever. I've also found that some professors like to tell students where they got each of their degrees, presumably so that students know that their professor went to an esteemed or at least reputable university. But Mary was just Mary, and she was a wonderful teacher. Siblings in Christ, we like credentials. We like titles. We enjoy having a sense of importance. We enjoy the power and the respect, perhaps sometimes even the intimidation that credentials can give us. In our Old Testament reading for today, Moses asks God for God's name, God's credentials. Moses wants to know that this God who he is working with actually carries some weight in the world, has some credibility. If I'm going to tell people that you, God, have sent me to them, you'd better at least tell me what influence you have on their situation, Moses seems to say. To put it into modern terms, Moses wants to know that this God is legit. And we don't have to look far to see how our desire for legitimacy and credentials plays out in the world. If you have been following the Brexit deal in the UK, you might be aware that Prime Minister Johnson asked the Queen to speak just days before the Brexit deadline. Although the Queen is largely a figurehead as far as political decisions go, her title and the honor and respect that it commands still hold weight in shaping the government and in decisions that are made. In our own country, I can't help but think of how the title president carries weight for the rest of history, even after a president has left office, and how that title can trend toward infamous when tied to political scandal or impeachment inquiries like we're seeing now. And in our basic daily lives, credentials matter than what we might think at first. How likely are you to go to a doctor who does not have MD or DO listed after her name? Would you take a college course from someone who did not have PhD or at least MA on their door plaque? And if you're in the military or a government position, how often does title or rank determine what information you are allowed to know or share? Titles are important to us, and we do not hesitate to ask people what they are to be called. We like credentials. Beloved, God is bold. God is a daring God. God takes innovative risks. God pushes boundaries. When I read the passage from Exodus, I would almost say that God has some sass. "I am who I am," is God's response to Moses' inquiry about God's name. Other ways to translate the Hebrew read, "I am what I am," and "I will be what I will be." God will not be pinned down. God will not be reduced to a name. Now, as I was reading the text, I have to say a certain celebrity came to mind. In the passage, there are particular parts that make me think of the pop star Lady Gaga. Now, bear with me for a moment while we flesh this out. In the Bible passage, God has bold plans both for Moses and for the Israelites. God promises to deliver them from slavery into freedom. Pharaoh is the most powerful man in the land and has very successfully been oppressing the Hebrews for hundreds of years. And if we look at the broader scope of the Old Testament, it has been a while, a couple of chapters at least, since God has directly interacted with the people. Now, almost out of nowhere, God shows up and says, "I'm going to deliver them." No mention of how God plans on doing this other than through Moses. Just a very direct promise. I am going to send you, Moses, to bring my people out of Egypt, and I am going to be with you. That's bold, daring. It pushes the boundaries. In our current pop culture sphere, I think Lady Gaga might share a few similarities. When she rose to fame, she was bold and daring. She took risks. She pushed musical and artistic boundaries. Critics labeled her as out there or crazy. Lady Gaga intimidates and even offends people with her unapologetic personality and with her outlandish fashion choices. You might remember in 2010, she wore a dress made entirely out of meat to the Music Video Awards, mostly for shock value. But, like the meat dress, I would say that God also does some pretty wild things to get our attention. After all, God literally lights a bush on fire to get Moses' attention. The text tells us that God called to Moses. God spoke to him. So why didn't God just call Moses' name and calmly get his attention with words? Instead, God sets a bush ablaze in a fiery display that does not burn up. That's pretty wild. And how wonderful is it that our God is this bold? That God refuses to be nailed down or figured out or confined? Like Lady Gaga, God pushes boundaries. And God pushes boundaries for us. God is who God is, and God exists and moves in the world however God pleases. There are no limits to what God will be or do for God's children. God, in God's infinite love for the Israelites, for us, is bold. Friends, look around. Everywhere is holy ground. Everywhere we go, the Spirit is active. The holy presence of God is all around. We are invited to live on holy ground. Moses removed his sandals from his feet in awe of the power and presence of God. And then Moses is called to take that holy presence, that promise of deliverance, to God's people. I will be with you, says God. I will go with you wherever this journey leads. As God goes with Moses, as God goes with us, everywhere becomes foundation for the holy. Everywhere becomes holy ground, and we are invited to live and interact and engage on that holy space. We are invited to be like Moses, to be people who remind others of the constant and innovative presence of God. We are invited to create space for all places to be holy. Perhaps some of you are familiar with the hymn, Here I Am, Lord. We will sing it here in a moment. When I imagine what it would look like to live in a world where all spaces were revered as holy ground, the hymn's lyrics sum it up. The final verse says, I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life for them. Imagine a world where all are fed and cared for and loved with no conditions or prerequisites. And then the hymn asked a question in the last line. Whom shall I send? Beloved, we are invited to be the ones whom God sends. We are invited to be the ones who go past the boundaries into the desert and barren places, invited to be the ones who proclaim everywhere is holy ground. People of God, it can be easy to get caught up in the need for set titles and roles and regulated access to information and authority. But our God is a God who will not be confined to only one way of being in the world. Our God will boldly push boundaries and shatter expectations. God makes all places holy ground, and we are invited to push the boundaries too. God will go with us. God has already made space for this holy work. Amen.